Welcome home, neighbors. This is the Royal family from Reading, Pennsylvania, owners at Old Key West Resort. You are listening to My DVC Points.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed, your fast passes are booked, pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 72 of the My DVC Points podcast. You know, I really love it when I get a new show opener that a listener sends in. You just have to love the kids sharing in the vacation planning and the Disney magic. And I know a lot of kids enjoy listening to the show, and I appreciate having you guys as fans. If you get mom and dad to record a show opener for you, I'll be glad to put it into the show. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at DVCRentalStore.com. January's a great time to do some vacation planning. The holidays are over. I hope you figure out what you want to get done with your membership this year, and I hope the podcast helps you come back in and figure out how to get the most out of your membership. If you've got some extra points or you need some cash, head on over to DVCRentalStore.com, or if you want to do a cruise or an adventure by Disney, they'll pay you almost double what Disney Direct is paying. Go ahead and give them a shout, DVCRentalStore.com. In today's episode, we're kicking off the actual Disney's Riviera Resort review series. So far, we've heard from four direct owners at the Riviera Resort, and today we're bringing in three more of them, and all four of us have stayed at the resort and done our research to kind of come back in and give you guys a little bit of a heads up and walk you through the whole resort. We had such a great time recording this show. It is going to get broken up into two episodes because it's over 2 hours long. Let's jump into today's show with Joe, Caleb, and Amy. I'd like to welcome to the show today, Amy Urquhart. How are you doing today, Amy?
I'm terrific. How are you doing?
Oh, doing great. And welcome, Joe and possibly Courtney Woofers. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Courtney's dealing with the baby right now, but hopefully she'll be back in a second.
Okay, she'll pop in and join us then. And then I'd also like to welcome Caleb Allison to the show. How are you doing, Caleb?
Absolutely perfect.
Oh, love to hear that. Hard to beat perfect. How many nights have you guys stayed at Riviera so far? Who went with you and what room did you guys stay in?
So my family and I stayed 7 nights at Disney's Riviera Resort, January 5th to the 12th. We had a standard view deluxe studio in the East Wing on the 5th floor. So it was just the three of us, myself, my husband, and our 10-year-old son, Nate.
Okay, so three people in a standard studio. That should have been nice and roomy then.
It was very spacious for the three of us, yeah.
Awesome. Joe, where did you guys stay?
So we were in a preferred studio, 8815, which faced the Skyliner. We were actually there opening night and the second night. We built it off a split stay from Old Key West. So yeah, we were in a preferred studio with the five of us at the time. So it was me, Courtney, and the three kids. And it was the night of the infamous lovely bed situation. So we were lucky to be a part of that too.
Oh my gosh. What did you guys end up doing that night?
We were okay because we actually didn't really need the bed. So, because we've got the baby and the baby was sleeping with us and the two boys could sleep together in the regular Murphy, the big queen one. So we were good, but it was quite a fiasco watching them pull air mattresses and stuff for neighbors.
Yeah, I talked a little bit with the front desk staff about that one. And it sounds like they did what they reasonably needed to do just because they had a fear that something was happening there. But
They did a good job. I mean, as I said, how do you plan for that? And then the amount of that's every room. I mean, that is literally every room has those. So except for the Tower Studios. So it was definitely, they had a lot to cover, but it sounds like they did a good job. So we were good.
Yeah. After I talked with them more, I was like, wow, social media kind of blew up over this, but you guys handled it well. Caleb, where did you guys stay?
We stayed in a standard view studio on the third floor. And it was my wife, my daughter, my 15-month-old son, and my mother-in-law, Pam. So we took up every possible space, really.
Okay. Well, I stayed there with my complete family of five, and I had to do a cash room on that 35% off discount. but I did it just to come back in and do the review series. But I also ended up running out about 92 points at the Poly and got the income and then just paid that way. With the discount, I was able to do that. So that wasn't a bad deal for me either. I mean, I essentially used points, but I had to go to DVC rental store and rent some points out and get them back in to cover that. But we made it work. We stayed in a one-bedroom preferred on the fourth floor right next to the laundry, full family. So we got to experience everything. The Murphy bed, we got to experience the flip down couch, and nobody complained about that stuff. We'll get into rooms a little bit later. I do have a little bit of info here that Micah provided over at Mouse Perks. He does a lot of research on room inventory, and it looks like over at Riviera, they've got 24 tower studios. And then for the dedicated units, there's 7 deluxe studios that are standard, 31 preferred. There looks to be 58 lock-off units and 90 preferred lock-offs for the studios. There's 7 dedicated one-bedroom standard, 22 preferred. In the two bedrooms, there's 28 standard, 62 preferred, and around 12 grand villas. Again, these are pretty close estimates, and we don't have the official floor plans from Disney, but we're going through sleuthing it out. So that's what's going on there with the rooms. Joe, you had a preferred room, but Caleb and Amy, did you guys have a great fireworks view in the standards?
We did. I was surprised we had such a great view of fireworks actually being on the east wing of the building, but when we stepped out onto the balcony and looked toward Epcot, we could see the complete show of the fireworks performance that whole evening. And we could also see the fireworks at Magic Kingdom, which was a really special treat.
Oh, wow.
We also had a really great view of the fireworks. We got there on the 31st of December, and we came in pretty late, and our studio was on the west side. And just by the orientation of our studio, I could lay down in the Murphy bed, and the angle just allowed me to see all of the fireworks in all of its glory with the tag and everything on New Year's Eve. It was awesome.
Oh, no kidding. So that's one of the things that I keep reading about online. It's almost like they got things a little bit reversed here, that the standard rooms have these awesome firework views, and the preferred rooms, I don't know. Joe, what was your thought of the view from your preferred room?
I had done some, as you said, sleuthing prior. We know we didn't have a lot of the information on exactly what the orientation would be in terms of what room categories, but I kind of sourced out that they were going to be preferred running from where the tower studios start down that one side where the Skyliner is. And then the preferred would wrap all the way around the backside with the pool facing and then ultimately end on the other end of the resort on the east side. Because I knew I'd book preferred, but I wanted to see if I could get kind of that ultimate view. So I had requested high floor facing the Skyliner so I could see Skyliner, I could see Epcot, I could see Hollywood Studios. And so I was able to watch fireworks at both parks, as well as see the Skyliner running. And when it wasn't running, like one day it was raining, and I could tell that they had shut it down for a little bit, so we didn't leave. We waited until they started running again before we left to go get on and head to Epcot. So it worked out pretty good. Not a lot of those rooms, because that's just that one side of the resort that has that option. The rest of the preferred are facing the lake.
So like that's the side that's really above the tunnel?
Yeah, and it's above the tunnel. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so it's facing the Skyliner directly. I thought those would have a killer view room, and it's good to know that they're preferred, and that's what you get there. But it's almost like, it seems like they should have just done this so that, hey, these are the really cool firework views that you could pay the points for and get, because over at Bay Lake Tower, the preferred room is overlooking a parking lot.
It's the same setup as Bay Lake in that sense, where I guess they're calling it standard because you're overlooking a parking lot first and foremost. Even though you can see fireworks in the distance, you're looking at a parking lot first.
So, yeah, but that's the same thing at Bay Lake Tower, right? Yeah.
I think a big difference, though, between Riviera and Bay Lake is that the fireworks are not direct in any way. I mean, pretty much you have to get out on your balcony and look left to be able to see them for most of those standard rooms.
Yeah, not everyone has the luxury of lying on their Murphy bed to watch the fireworks.
I was going to say, tell me about that Murphy bed view there.
Like I said, I've looked at some maps, and there's only maybe 4 or 5 studios that are going to orientate themselves that way to be able to do that.
Yeah, because it's just the angle of that west wing, how it kind of starts to turn a little bit south. So it angles itself right at Epcot in a way that the east wing doesn't have.
Got it. Well, I stayed in a preferred one bedroom, and I looked out over my balcony right down at the Sea Vue Play, and then a little corner of the lake in Caribbean Beach. And I didn't think it was anything to write home about. To me, it was just like, okay, I'm looking at a kid's play area in a moderate resort. I couldn't see the Skyliner. I couldn't see anything. And I'm going, yeah, this wasn't a whole lot to write home about for preferred. But I asked for high room. And when I got there, they actually had rooms early at about 1 p.m. And they were like, well, we could wait to get you in one, or we can get you in one now. And because I wanted to do a room video, I wanted to be there in the sunlight. And I thought if I wait, it could be 4 or 5 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, the sun's starting to go down. Chad's not getting a good video. So I just took what I could get.
I think what we could see, I mean, this is down the road, but I really could see them reallocating points and adjusting room categories there, because I do think that they kind of messed up in terms of what people are going to be requesting and wanting. And they may end up moving some stuff around, or maybe make some of the higher floors preferred facing Epcot versus standard. I don't know. We're going to have to see, but I could totally see them changing some stuff.
Yeah, I talked with a front desk cast member there who actually had the job assignment of doing those touring plan photos. Okay, so if a guest comes down and complains about their room view, they could actually look at it because he took a photograph from every room and has it databased for him. And he kind of led me to believe it could be something that they're considering or possibly doing. And that would not be atypical, because the same thing happened at Bay Lake when they did that. And that's how that whole standard view room came about, where they came back in and said, these are looking more at, you know, the monorail and looking more at the Contemporary Tower or the A-frame Tower at Contemporary as opposed to Magic Kingdom, because they're on low floors, and they reclassified them.
Yep.
And did a rebalancing. So I expect that to happen here, just based on feedback from listeners and all of that that's going on. So they'll probably come back in and address that one.
Yeah, I don't think it would be inappropriate for them to recategorize some rooms as a theme park view.
As an owner, I hope you're wrong, because I like being able to come in there for cheaper points and get a better view. That's for sure.
You want, well,
and we know from looking at, if you look at the ratios, the standard's going to be kind of a tougher category, especially with the views that they have. People are going to find that out, and preferred outnumber standard like 2-1. So. Yeah. You know, there's already a shortage in terms of that category. And then now that people find out that, hey, I can save the points and get a better view, done. And so home resort owners are going to have a big advantage there in terms of getting those standard views.
Yeah, that and the towered studios. That's going to be one huge reason to own at Riviera, to get that 11-month advantage there.
Absolutely.
So what were your guys' thoughts on the lobby area coming in and everything that's down there at the lobby area?
So I wasn't able to avoid seeing some videos on YouTube and coverage on Facebook. I really, really tried not to spoil it for myself, but it's impossible to avoid. So I knew that it wasn't going to be a big grand entrance the way some of the other resorts are. But overall, I thought it was really lovely. I think the furnishings in there are beautiful, the light fixtures, the shape of the room, the fragrance. It's a really nice space. And I think when the resort calms down a little bit from all of the tours and the press, that it will be a very nice spot to sit and rest and relax.
You know, for me, it was one of those things I had to kind of take it in two phases, because when I first got to go see it, it was right after the media event on opening day. So it was a madhouse. I mean, there were people everywhere. You probably couldn't even smell the scent because it was just so many people. So I ended up going back down that night. I went and got ice or something. I can't even remember what it was. And I went down there just to walk around when it was quiet. And it fit exactly. It was almost amazing. I stood where they took the concept art from kind of the front door and looked, and I'm like, it's identical to what the concept art had actually projected. So that part was great, because sometimes you wonder if they're actually going to turn out as good as what you've seen pictures of coming. It's quaint. It's simple. I love that they're doing that new setup where instead of going up to a counter and checking in, you walk up and they bring you an iPad and they go sit down and they talk to you. That was much more enjoyable than walking up to a counter and doing the typical check-in process. And then having the coffee shop, it's not a real big option in terms of snacks and stuff, and then the little gift shop, but it does what it's necessary. They've got everything they need without being excessive and having a huge room, just kind of wasted space. So I think they did a pretty good job. As I've told people before, none of the DVC lobbies are big. Even some of the bigger considered ones, they're not big. I mean, you look at Kidani. Kidani's not even that large. It's not a hotel like Grand Floridian or Wilderness Lodge. And you got to kind of know that going in, that it's not going to be this huge, grandiose lobby like we get with some of the big hotels.
I personally did like the lobby. Whenever I was younger, I did a lot of European travels, you know, backpacking across Europe. And I didn't stay at a lot of hotels, but we would go in hotels a lot and look at them. And it really reminded me a lot of those lobbies, relatively low ceilings and marble and very grandiose in a quaint way, like Joe said. One issue that we had with the lobby was we were traveling with two strollers, and they have these large pillars that are pretty close to Bell Services. And so if anybody is trying to utilize Bell Services and you're trying to get out to the bus stop to go to Magic Kingdom or something, it was pretty cramped in there that you couldn't really go through the sitting area with your strollers. You couldn't get through the Bell Services. You had to go all the way around over near the coffee shop and stuff to get through. So I think that some of that flow could have been a little bit better for families per se, but otherwise I really did enjoy the lobby.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. And I think you brought up a really good point, because if we're doing a European theme and styling here, let's be honest, most of the buildings in Europe are 200-300 years old.
Absolutely.
This concept of 2-3-4 story grand lobbies is just not a European thing. And I think to their point, they pulled it off. Now, do I miss that? A little bit, yes. I mean, even Bay Lake has a two-story lobby. That I could see coming, and I just read in the new Disneyland hotel that's coming out for DVC that they're talking about a two-story lobby there. So
yeah, we were reading that right before you got on. So yeah.
Yeah, so I could see, and I've heard a lot of people talk about that. I mean, I would have liked it, but at the same point in time, I can deal with it. And I think the notable thing there is A, that scent. And for me, that scent just hits you when you hit that little vestibule area. And then by the time you get inside, it seems like it dies down a little bit. But for the most part, that scent is really awesome and noteworthy about the lobby area. And I'm really curious to see what my friend Nicole from circa 1955 comes up with for a candle for that area. It's going to be awesome.
When we were in the gift shop, my wife actually asked one of the cast members there what the scent was. And she said that the official scent is Coastal Marine. Coastal Marine. And we asked, of course, if we could buy a candle or something, but they didn't have anything for us.
Hmm. I mean, that's a missed opportunity for them, because I think they could have sold that. I really think that DVC members would really, really, really enjoy buying a scented candle that matches their home resort to make home smell like home, so to speak.
Some of the scents from Bose at Marketplace Co-op in Disney Springs come really, really close. And I have a few of those fragrance oils for my diffuser here. And the one called Resort Signature is very, very close to what is at Riviera.
That's really cool. The other thing I was really shocked at is, and I flew Spirit this time, so I couldn't use the bag check deal. But I was really shocked that the bag check for airline check-in is downstairs on the first floor.
Yeah, I saw that too when we were coming from the pool. I was like, it's kind of a weird spot.
Yeah, but other than that, the gift shop up there is really, really neat. I thought it was a little on the small side, especially on the food choices, because usually the DVC resorts tend to have a little bit more of a food selection for like freezer, microwave kind of things. And that seemed a little bit on the small side to me. But other than that, it was probably well-researched and they probably put in there exactly what they needed. Because I can't imagine that they would underbuild that intentionally.
I'm sure they know exactly what inventory is necessary to keep up with things. They've been doing it long enough.
Yeah, and they probably got that right. Because I know I don't really go in there and buy a whole lot there. So if my family was typical, it would be smaller than what I'm used to seeing.
And the other thing too is, well, a lot of members don't realize back 20 years ago, that was our source for food. We didn't have Amazon Prime Now and all these things to have things delivered. It was a lot more difficult. So you ordered groceries from DVC. And so that was where you went and bought some of that stuff. Whereas nowadays, everybody gets stuff delivered. They're starting to shrink that down, I think, everywhere in terms of just the inventory and what's necessary, because people just aren't buying as much anymore.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Instacart, Amazon Prime, Garden Grocer, Dizzy Dolphin, all those guys are coming back in and taking up some market share there. Mm-hmm.
I remember actually having to order groceries from DVC and they'd have it in your room. I thought it was the coolest thing when I first did that. But now I'm like, God, they charge us a fortune.
Which is probably why that's shrunk. Because
exactly. You go buy a package of donuts and it was $8.
Speaking of food, let's hit this bars and restaurants thing there. I know the quick service is called Primo Piatta. And then we've got Bar Riva and an ice cream cart out at the pool. and Topolino's Terrace. And we're also pretty convenient if you wanted to walk over to Caribbean Beach or Skyliner over to an Epcot resort. That's all a great thing as well. But I think there's enough podcasts talking about Caribbean Beach and Epcot. So let's just focus on the four that we've got here. Where did you guys eat when you were there? What did you participate in and take in?
So I got to eat at the Primo Piatta quick service downstairs for breakfast. We had the croque madame, and I think just for my daughter, we had just like some eggs and sausage and things. She's 6 years old, so not very adventurous. And we also had a few pastries and thing, and everything there was just top notch. I mean, it was probably one of the best quick service that I've had on property.
Awesome. Did you try anything else out or just the quick service?
Well, no, we also had the out at the pool on our second day. We had a pool day, and we had some of the ice cream out there at the pool, the gelato. And I think we had a strawberry and then a lemon one. And they really were best when you put them together. But they
good point.
It was delicious, both of them.
Good point. Amy, what did you guys take in over there?
We also enjoyed Primo Piatto. We had some of the flatbread pizza there and burgers, of course. My son loves burgers, so he went with the bacon cheeseburger, no cheese. And I also tried the vegetarian kebab one afternoon by the pool, and we did a lot of mobile ordering from that location, which worked really great because it was always quite busy. So we would grab our food and either sit at a table or take it outside or back to our room. And then we also had breakfast at Topolino's Terrace one morning, which of course is a character breakfast. And it was wonderful. Wonderful food, excellent service. Everything was amazing.
I could do a whole episode on that breakfast. Okay.
Yeah, I could talk about that meal for for a long time. It was really, really good. And some of the best coffee that I drank the entire week that we were at Walt Disney World was during that breakfast.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to dial in on that in a second then. So Joe, where all did you guys eat?
Primo Piatto as well. We did that. We only had really one full day of actual time to be able to enjoy the resort, because as I said, that first day was chaotic. Everybody was just a mess with everybody in the media and such. But we did Primo Piatto the second day just for a quick lunch. The boys were playing bocce ball with some kids. I had the Italian sandwich, which is, you know, it's a solid Italian sandwich. There was nothing wrong with it, nothing fantastic about it, but it was just a solid option. Wife had a cheeseburger, and that was good. But we did get a chance to eat at Topolino's Terrace for dinner opening night, and it was outstanding. I'm a foodie, so I tend to be a little more adventurous than my wife is. And so the only worry I had was looking at the menu going in, that it's got this, it's true Italian and French. It's not that Americanized Italian and French, you know, it's not like Olive Garden. So, you know, a lot of the flavors are a little eclectic and a little bit out there, but I ended up having the veal chop and it was perfectly cooked. And then my wife had a little bit off menu item. She did the rigatoni, but subbed some pasta. I think she had Alfredo pasta, like a fettuccine versus the rigatoni. But both items turned out fantastic. I found out that as far as their wait staff goes, they had 1,500 applicants to be wait staff there at dinner, and they only selected 10 for full-time permanent jobs. So you are getting the top end in terms of some of the Disney, you know, wait staff available on property. Like the guy we had, he spent most of his time over at Flying Fish. And I mean, he was phenomenal.
I think that goes for the whole resort, because I talked with several cast members, and I know front desk had over 1,000 people apply for 16 positions. When you stop and think about it, if you're a Disney cast member and a new resort opens up and everything is new and everything is the latest, greatest, you're going to want to work there. And so I think everybody and their brother kind of applied for the jobs there, and they were able to come back in and really pick the best of the best of the best to launch this resort and get it started. I know when I checked in and I saw Thea's name down as the general manager of the resort, my heart kind of sank, because I own Copper Creek and she came from Wilderness Lodge, and she was just awesome over there. And even the staff over there just kept talking about how glad they were to be working for her at Wilderness Lodge. And now I'm just kind of going, oh, man.
We stole her.
Yeah. I'm not quite so happy about that. But I can't be unhappy about it, because I don't know who they replaced over at Wilderness Lodge. But I'm sure it'll be somebody that's awesome, because that's a phenomenal resort. And Disney tends to put really great managers in all of the resorts. So thumbs up, thumbs down, Primo Piatta. Do you guys recommend? Did you like it? Was it just a normal quick service? Was it just elevated? Was it really good? What's your thoughts there?
We thought it was really good, but we do think that they might tweak the menu a little bit to appeal a little bit more to the traditional American palate.
Interesting.
For example, French fries, you know, if you order a side of French fries, they come with this sort of mix of Parmesan cheese and some herbs on top, which were delicious, but not realizing when we ordered, and perhaps that was our fault for not reading the menu more closely, but...
Oh, I thought those fries were life-changing.
They were
like,
delicious.
I'm not going to lie. They were just like mouth-watering awesome, okay? Like, forget the burger, forget everything else. I'm just going to sit here. No ketchup required. True European fashion. Snobbing the ketchup. And the fries were just amazing.
Don't get me wrong. My husband and I love them. Our son did not want to eat them with the cheese on top. So we adapted throughout the rest of the vacation and ordered accordingly. And they accommodated that no problem whatsoever. But the food generally was excellent. The flatbread pizza was one of my favorites. And we would definitely eat there again. Even if we were not staying there, I would make the trek there to grab lunch.
Oh, really? Because Laura ordered a pizza from there and the kids ate there. And so I nibbled on it a little bit because we were going to Topolino's for dinner. So I didn't really want to fill up on that when I'm going upstairs. And I thought it was like traditional flatbread pizza. I thought it was okay. But I didn't have the fries that night. I had to go back for this Martin Luther King Day Animal Kingdom Moonlight Magic trip. And I went over there and went back over to kind of like check some more boxes right before this podcast show and got the fries over at Bar Riva, which is the same kitchen that serves Primo Piatta. So did you guys eat at the bar at all? Anybody?
No, I did not have an opportunity to eat at the bar.
Oh, okay. So you guys are missing out. Let me tell you. My friend Pat and I went and we decided going into it that because of the podcast review, we needed to try as many things as possible. So we ordered three or four different things, three or four different drinks. And then another couple that was renting points was sitting there right across from us. And we ended up talking with them for hours. And then Umberto from DVC Resale Market popped over and hung out with us there. So we were there at that bar for a good solid 4 hours or more. Okay. So we had our chance to come in and take over the place. And let me tell you some of the highlights of there. There's a portobello mushroom burger there that comes with those fries. Life-changing. I'm telling you, that thing was just downright delicious. What was really cool is my friend Pat has a dairy allergy, and the waiter knew that we were splitting things and trying them. So he just brought out a little side dish of fries without the Parmesan on it so my friend Pat could have them. And we didn't even have to ask for that. That was just over the top cool because I could have just tried the fries and Pat could have just lived without them. But he needed to avoid the dairy stuff, and they took care of him just from hearing that he had a dairy allergy. And because we were talking about now, we'll just pick the cheese off the burger so he can try it, and they completely hooked him up on the fries. And I thought that was just off the charts cool. Kudos to Michael, our bartender, for that one. The other notable thing on that menu, when I tell you guys notable, this thing is legendary at Disneyland, but they have the same exact Monte Cristo sandwich with the same exact recipe that they have over at the Blue Bayou in Disneyland that is like everybody goes gaga for at that restaurant. The only difference is Blue Bayou uses like a raspberry preserves and Bar Riva uses a strawberry preserves. So that's something worth trying there, especially if you're a worlder and you hear everybody talk about the Monte Cristo over at Disneyland. And then the other thing that we tried there was the grilled chicken wings because they're only available on the bar menu. And that was downright delicious. If I could have plussed them up a little bit, I would have had them go in some kind of a crisper because the skin on the chicken was just a little bit rubbery to me. But other than that, the flavor and the cooking, everything was just spot on. That was my only thing with the wings, but they're still really good and I would still really recommend them because ours could have been off that day or something.
Going back and talking about Topolino's, we also had the breakfast. My wife had the steak, and I had the spicy hash, and my mother-in-law had the smoked salmon there. And I mean, everything on that menu was just amazing. The steak, I haven't been over to Yacht Club yet, but it was one of the best steaks that I've ever had, and it, you know, for breakfast.
It can hang with Yacht Club steaks. We went there for breakfast as well, and I got the steak. A little pro tip when you go there, it's a fixed price menu, and it's all you care to enjoy. And so you can order the steak. You can order the steak without the accompaniments for it. You can order, like I ordered the steak, and then I go, I really want to try for the podcast review the croissant, because I've heard people talk about it. And she, our waiter there, Tamara, who was amazing, also said, yeah, try it. It's really good. So she just brought me a croissant without the accompaniments. And I'm going to tell you, had it not been a ham croissant, it is of the caliber. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but we're from Detroit, and Jewish delis here are like legendary for their sandwiches and the quality of the meat and the taste. It could hang with one of the best Jewish delis that I've ever been. Now, it wouldn't be because it's ham, obviously, but it's still that high caliber of a sandwich. I can't speak highly enough of it. And then Laura and the kids tried about everything under the sun in terms of the sour cream waffles that have some kind of an orange flavoring in them. Amazing. Now, who else went to breakfast there?
We did.
Okay. And Amy, what'd you guys have?
I did the sour cream waffle as well, with the sort of a like a lemon cream that came on top. And I had mine with the plant-based sausage, which was actually very, very tasty. And my husband tried it as well, and he liked it also. And my husband also had that smoked salmon. And my son, he's 10 now, so he's treated as a Disney grown-up in terms of the dining plan, which we had. So nothing from the adult menu appealed to him, but the server said that he could have like Mickey waffles and bacon, and they brought him an adult-sized plate of that for his breakfast. And of course, the accompanying, you know, there's like little muffins and breads and different little savory treats that come with every table. And so he ate a lot of that as well. And no fancy breakfast is complete without a mimosa. So we enjoyed that as well.
Awesome. Let's talk about that little bread basket that they pull out. or I guess the painter basket full of bread.
And the dips.
Oh my gosh. That stuff was amazing. And the hazelnut spread, the butter. I didn't try the preserves because I'm not a preserves kind of person. But oh yeah, they are spot on with that breakfast bread in terms of what you would expect from European pastries.
It was all delicious.
We really did enjoy the pastries quite a bit. Something else with that, the kids' Mickey waffles. One, they come with mini waffles, which there's Mickey waffles all over the place, but mini waffles seem to be a little more rare. And my daughter just freaked out about having mini waffles. And they come out on a painter's palette with the different syrups and sauces that she could dip in. And she really, really enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah. The other thing I want to comment on here is yesterday I went to BOMA, and it was $29 for the standard Disney buffet where you walk up and serve yourself. And for $41, you got character meals and you got plated, extremely high quality, like chef level quality meals that are individually prepared and cooked to order. For me, that $12 difference, shut up and take my money. Okay. This thing ranked to me as the absolute best meal I've had at Disney. And I'm not normally a breakfast guy. My family loves character meals and character breakfasts. Normally, Ohana is their favorite. For them, they were all going, hey, move over, Stitch, because Mickey, Minnie, Donald, and Daisy are in town over here at Topolino's, and this place is the bomb diggity.
Yeah, we didn't even talk much about the characters. I mean, the Minnie poetry outfit and everything, my wife was just gaga over it. She wanted to have her own outfit.
Well, what Tamara was telling me, and she was saying that, hey, when we went through training, they kind of did a look across Disney, and they realized, A, there's not a lot of places you can get Mickey at a meal outside of the parks, other than like Chef Mickey's. But she goes, a lot of the character meals, some of them are known for really spot on characters, and some of them are known for really good food, and some of them are known for really good service. But their goal there was to hit it out of the park with all three of them. And I have to say, I'm a firm believer, they nailed it every single part of the way. From characters, from service, from food quality, A+ across the board. I'm going to make a prediction right now that in 6 months' time, this breakfast is going to be the new Be Our Guest Ohana for Dinner, where you have to book this 180 days plus that extra days in and book it at the end of your week-long vacation to get it. It's going to be that hot and that hard to get.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it's already there, honestly. I think that I was looking for our June trip back at 180 days and it was already slim pickings. So I think that the word's gotten out. I mean, a lot of the blogs and other places have already been kind of rearranging their rankings and putting this as number one. And I didn't even get to try breakfast. So I'm anxious to see it because we had it booked for the last day we were there, but I decided to go try for Rise of the Resistance instead. And that sounds like I'm regretting it. So.
And we haven't even mentioned the view. I mean, to be able to step outside the door there and have a look, you can see so far from that rooftop. And maybe we'll talk about that later. But
well, let's just go ahead and knock that out now, because that's part of dinner there. And we were up there for dinner at about an 8:30 reservation. So we were right there for the fireworks and just had perfect opportunity. I think we had just started to do drink orders before the fireworks. The server told me, he's like, Chad, fireworks happen. The whole place shuts down. I don't know if they like send everybody to break or what, because they might as well, because everybody in the restaurant's out there on that rooftop bar and over there looking at the fireworks going on at Epcot.
Yeah, so I had an 8:45. So I was dead center between them doing everything at Hollywood Studios, I think was at 8:30 that night, and then Epcot was at 9. We got in there and we sat down. We got to see everything. Our waiter told us that they actually shut the kitchen down. They shut down orders for like 10 minutes just so they're not end up delivering hot food to a table that's empty, because everybody bails outside and goes and checks it out. And you can see quite a bit. I mean, when we were standing there at one point, I could see fireworks all the way at Magic Kingdom. I could see Epcot. I could see Hollywood Studios. I mean, if Animal Kingdom probably had something, I don't know if you can venture that far, but you might be able to see it from there. And I was joking with a couple guys that were up there. I don't know if this was intentional or not, but Disney did a really good job of building this thing right in front of the Bonnet Creek Resort, because Bonnet Creek has been boasting that they've got the best view, right, of the Epcot fireworks and Hollywood Studios for a long time. And now they have no view of Epcot at all because of Riviera is blocking the thing right in the middle. So I don't know if that was out of spite or Disney sitting there saying, hey, we're giving up some of our best views. Let's go put in a hotel in between and get them back. But they did a good job from that perspective.
From what I'm told, that was a very intentional placement just to kind of come back in and lock down that long time debate with Bonnet Creek over firework views and everything that they've got going on there. Mm-hmm. But that could just be rumor as well.
Right. Well, okay. We know that Bonnet Creek Disney's not been happy because they didn't get that parcel of land like they wanted to back in the day. But it's one of those things that they definitely don't get. They can't see it now because Riviera is a direct line of sight from where Bonnet Creek was to Epcot. It's a direct line.
Yeah. Coincidence or gotcha?
Strategy. Yeah.
I think I'm going with strategy. I'll use your word.
Did any of you guys manage to see the view during the day?
I did. I was there for breakfast and dinner.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sorry. You said that, Chad.
I did a live there and I didn't broadcast it over to YouTube. It was just on the My DVC Points Facebook page. And I'll see if I can link it into the show notes from both of them. The one thing I thought was kind of odd, though, was that cap that's on top of the studio rooms from the bar area up there, like dead center of blocking your view of the Epcot fireworks. And I didn't really quite understand that. I didn't understand why they didn't put this thing on the corner where that's at and somehow open it up to more. But maybe if it was there, they couldn't see Hollywood or couldn't see Magic Kingdom or couldn't see some other part of it. But to me, I thought it was odd that I'm looking over this big red cap for the firework.
Or just add one more story to the restaurant there to be able to get that view just over that cap.
Yeah, I did notice that. I mean, you're standing out on the patio and you can, I mean, you can definitely see all of the fireworks at Epcot and you can see most of the stuff, but it's like, man, if you would have just added one more floor, there would be unobstructed. Like you'd be able to see everything completely clear. Whereas it's kind of on that side of the resort where, take example, I got down because, you know, we always talk about our kids and how we're trying to get our vantage point for what our kids can see. And my kids were looking through the railing and I got down to their level and they could only see the fireworks. They couldn't see like the kites flying around at the current show or anything like that. Whereas I could, because I'm tall enough. But I think that if they would have just done one more floor and you're just kind of looking at it like, why didn't you just go one more higher? And it would have been like sitting on a rooftop with nothing in the way.
Yeah. And then put like a glass level European style balcony around it.
Yeah.
So that the little kids could look out through the glass and at least see and not have to be held up or anything along those lines.
Right. And then the other thing that I noticed too was, and this may change as it gets a little bit forward, but everybody, right, gets up and goes outside to watch the fireworks. Well, if you're one of the lucky ones that has one of those great window view tables, you can't see anything anyways because everybody's standing there. Whereas had they maybe made it to where you could see the fireworks without blocking a lot of those tables, I think it would have been great because we were right in the corner where had there not been people sitting there or standing there, we could have seen everything just from our table. But instead, because everybody was there, we had to get up, walk outside, go to the railing and actually see from there. A few of those little things, but yeah, I mean, it's one of those things when you're building a resort and you're trying to picture all this stuff 3, 4, 5 years in advance with it's all concept art and drawings. You're trying to figure out what's going to work. Sometimes you just miss the mark a little bit.
Yeah, well, I've built a couple custom houses in my life, and I can tell you that I wouldn't rebuild any of them the exact same way that I had them because there was always something I wanted to tweak afterwards.
Yep.
So I think it's to your point of saying, yep, sometimes you just miss the mark a little bit. But overall, it's an incredibly cool place up there. I know Alicia asked from my live stream if people could come up there and get seating at the bar. So on this next trip back, I did ask, and yes, you can. There is an outdoor bar up there that is open at times, and it is first come, first serve.
Yeah, they told me that as long as it's not super busy with actual guests of the restaurant, they're fine with it. They said if it gets really busy out there to where the guests that actually have reservations are getting crowded out, they may put in some restrictions and stop people. But for the most part, it's going to be free game to go up there.
We encountered a lot of folks who were in the elevator and they were trying to get up to the 10th floor just to have a look. And they happened to be in that period of time between breakfast and dinner service, and hitting that number 10 button in the elevator was not getting them anywhere. So if it's during the day when the restaurant is not open, it seems like at least right now, the access up there is limited.
Yeah, because that's the only thing on the 10th floor. And to your guys' point earlier, if they did build the 10th floor up there one floor up, maybe they should have made it the 11th floor, though, to get a little bit better view. But they did try that trick.
Yep. Yeah. It's by itself. There's nothing else there. And it's kind of funky because the one thing I've said about Riviera, and we probably were going to get into this later, but the resort for its size and how long those hallways are in a few spots, only having two elevator banks is kind of a weird setup. I was really shocked they only had two elevator banks, especially considering one is the dedicated one to get up to the restaurant.
Yeah, the other thing, though, that helps that, and we noticed this as well, and I don't know if you guys saw this, they actually built in cast elevators. So like the luggage people do not use the same elevators that the guests use.
Yeah, we noticed that as well. We noticed it was a lot like when you're on a cruise ship, there's a dedicated passageway and elevators for the cast to use. And so we did notice that definitely.
And to me, that helps alleviate some traffic because I know over at Wilderness Lodge, you're all the time cramming in there because it was built in the early 90s with bell services that are coming in, dropping off luggage and all that other kind of fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. And I didn't really notice a problem with it, but I had to assume because it was so new and so few rooms are declared right now, so the DVC members can't come in with their points, that there's an awful lot of cash rooms there, that the cash rooms probably had a lot of inventory and open availability. So yeah, the resort probably wasn't at full capacity a month after opening when I was there.
So like the first night, because I tried, I had requested, I had enough points. I was like, I wanted to upgrade to a one bedroom when I got there, hoping that there would be spots. And they told me they were at full, obviously opening night. Well, there was a couple times we had to wait for elevators.
We saw some folks who were trying to get a last minute room as well. And they were also told that the resort was at capacity and that was in early January.
Hmm. Was that Run Disney weekend, though?
It was leading into that.
Ah, okay. Yeah, almost everything is sold on Run Disney weekend, so that doesn't shock me at all. Okay, let's go back and pick up ice cream cart outside. I know we heard that, Caleb, you guys did the strawberry and lemon. Did anybody else try the ice cream cart?
We did not. It was too cold the day we were... the kids swam and see who played that one night just to kind of get wet, but it was just... It was too cold, so we did not eat ice cream.
We gave it a pass too.
I'm telling you, it was cold there, but what I do for the podcast, I mean, I took one for the team, okay?
I'm sure it was absolutely awful, wasn't it?
The sacrifices you do.
I was going to do breakfast because, as I said, we had breakfast booked the day we were leaving. And I was like, because I want to get some video and get some of the stuff. And I'm like, I was just so full by that. You know, it's at the end of the trip. I'm like, I'm not doing this. I don't care if I've got to miss a video. I'm just not doing it because I'm so full and I can't eat anymore.
Yeah, well, I can tell you the ice cream cart outside, it's pretty good ice cream. I didn't think it was over the top, have to have, like, oh my God, mouth watering ice cream. But again, it was probably in the high 50s when we were doing it. So it was definitely on the chilly side. My son and my daughter and I all did the pool as well. And did you guys have a chance to do the pools?
My son did. I sort of sat on the edge, didn't get right in. But my son swam in the Riviera pool and he had a great time.
Yeah, generally speaking, I found the rule for kids is just add water and they're happy.
Yes, definitely. They don't feel the temperatures the way adults do.
Because we were there opening night. We actually took some friends with us. She had her and her daughter, they'd never been. So we took them with us the first part of the trip at Old Key West. But they were scheduled to fly back the day we checked into Riviera. And their flight got canceled. So I was in the process. I was trying to help book her a room at Saratoga just last minute so she had a place to sleep. And so I took the kids out and we just sat at the kids played at Cebu Play while I sat and talked to member services. And they absolutely loved it for the 1 hour we were out there. It's so nice going out there and not having to worry about kids drowning and sinking because the water is only 6 inches deep. So that part was great.
Yeah, which technically is possible. It's just not likely, but
unlikely. It's one of those I'm not sitting there having to watch them like a Hawkeye. I can kind of just kind of keep glancing every once in a while.
Yeah. And so I was out there with Lincoln and he's six. And so he tore the joint up and just absolutely loved it, had a ball. And I absolutely loved it. And I'm going to rank that as my number one children's splash area in all of DVC. Now, Granted, I haven't been to the beach resorts yet. So give me this summer and next summer to go hit Hilton Head, Vero, and Alani. But I doubt it will beat this. And
so you think it's better than the Copper Creek pool too? Because that's
absolutely
nice too. That one's pretty nice too.
That's really nice. Okay. And keep in mind, I'm a Copper Creek owner. But I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, the heated water in the children's play area is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I don't think any of the play. Do they have that? Is that heated in any of the other ones? I don't think it is.
I don't think it is. I don't recall it being heated there. Now it could be. I normally go in summer, and so it wouldn't be heated.
Right.
But I can tell you, I didn't have to worry that my kids just having a blast in the pool and not paying attention to temperature, and then you go to get them and put a towel on them, and they're shivering and shaking like a tree.
Been there.
It was really, 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 really nice. And kudos to them for building in the heaters and taking care of that.
It's not easy to keep shallow water like that warm because
no.
It cools, especially in the winter, it'll cool down quick.
The only thing I can think that helps it is it's all stone.
Right.
Everything there is stone, and it's not like there's a lot of metal that's making up that play area because it's all marble looking stone and concrete. And so that would probably come back in.
Yeah.
And hold the heat if they intentionally heated that part of it as well. Like I said, number one rank for me. And I think that place was just absolutely amazing. And then it didn't hurt me at all that I had a great view of it after I had experienced it. And that just made me like it even more because I got to see it from upstairs and looking down. And so that part for me was absolutely amazing. Did anybody else there try the slide?
Yeah, we had a really nice day. It got actually up into the 70s on one of the days that we were there. And so we got into the Cebu play area. And I agree with all of you that the heated part was awesome. I would go over there just to warm up myself, get in it with my son. And then we got into the feature pool, and I was a little surprised at how shallow it was. It was only like 3.5 feet for almost all of the pool was about that deep. I did enjoy the slide, but it has a kind of it curves around and then it has a straight shot. And I felt like I was kind of slowing down during that straight shot, almost worried I was going to get stuck in it or something. But then at the end, it really speeds up and spits you out.
Yeah, again, I'm a pool and slide snob, and this is going to rank in probably my top three slides just because of how fast it is. And not only that, when they built this slide, it's not their traditional slide fiberglass material that has all the bumps in it. This thing is incredibly smooth on the inside, which means your back doesn't get ripped up when you're not wearing a shirt for the guys that are coming down here, or maybe the ladies in just the top. And no shirt that's coming down through here. That's something that happens on a lot of the other slides there. But because this is like a smooth fiberglass or a smooth plastic, you didn't have that. And it also felt faster. And then I kept coming down and people were clapping when I'd come back in because I guess I made big splashes and I didn't even know I was doing it. They were like, dude, killer splash. And then I started trying after that, okay? Because
get you an audience like, and you're going.
Yeah, I got an audience, right? I gotta perform now. But yeah, killer slide there. Absolutely love the slide. Rank it really, really high in DVC. I don't think it can beat the pirate-themed slide over at Beach Club.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the best slide ever. I mean, that thing's... That's a water park. That's a water park level slide.
Yeah, outside of having to cross the outside of the pool area to come up it, okay? Yes. And then I'm really weird in the fact that I dig Creepy Clown at Boardwalk, also up there in my top slides.
I would say you're not a DVC member until you've been introduced to the clown. You can't call yourself a member until that happens. So
yeah, that's kind of true. It's Creepy Clown has got a special place in the heart of DVC members. And then, Caleb, to your point, most of the pool is shallow, which is kind of a newer thing that they're doing. There was an area over at one end along the wall against the lake that got above 4 feet.
I asked the lifeguard about it, and she pointed me to it, and I think it was 4'9", was as deep as it got there.
Yeah, which is nicer, but I still like the Copper Creek pool a little bit better over there because it does get a full 5 feet. And a spot in the very center, I have to go tippy-toe to touch. And I'm like 5'10", 5'11". So I really, really, really liked deeper pools, but I get why they don't from a liability perspective.
And I didn't go into the quiet pool, but I was really surprised at how close it was to everything. I mean, it's right in the middle of the courtyard where people are playing bocce ball, where all of the community, you know, well, it's not a community hall, but the games that they have going on, the resort activities. I mean, it was right in the middle of everything. So I was like, I guess they're not going to call it a quiet pool, just non-feature pool or something.
Yeah, that one. Now, I have to admit, I waited to try it until like 8 or 9 o'clock when the normal pool closed, which seemed early to me. But we went over to that pool and we were pretty much the only people there. So to me, it was very quiet, but I could see how it wouldn't be. But hopefully the hedges that they just brought in to kind of surround the pool will thicken up or fill up some once they take root and start to establish themselves there and maybe fill in a little bit more and deal with the noise a little bit better.
Well, I think it's just one of those things that the whole mindset with that is kids and families are going to use the main pool. It is the way it is. And hopefully it's just adults over here. It cracked me up that so many people, I don't know if it was DVC sales doing this or not, but there was this whole rumor going around it was going to be adults only pool. And I'm like, it's never going to happen. It's not going to happen. A, because it's right in the middle of the resort. If you're going to do an adults only pool, it's got to be completely isolated. And B, Disney's never going to do an adults only pool. It just doesn't happen. But hopefully maybe it just migrates that way when all the kids want to go to the slide.
They did have an age range posted for that pool. So I think it was kids under 14 are supposed to be accompanied by an adult. So while it's not an adults only pool, it definitely has a different vibe that appeals to older guests.
Absolutely. You look at a lot of the resorts, the feature pool is in one location and then there's quiet pools are quite a ways away from where the feature pool is at. So you have to decide, are we going to truck ourselves all the way to the feature pool or are we just going to go swim with the one that's right by our room? Whereas with Riviera, those two pools are only 10 steps apart. So families have no reason not to walk the extra 10 steps and go to the pool with the slide or the pool with the Cebu play area right next to it.
Yeah, I think Alani has a true adults only pool, but that's the only one that I know that is branded as adult only.
It's the only one.
And then over there at the quiet pool at Riviera, they also have a whole rack of children's life vests. So they obviously intended for smaller people to be using that pool. But any other comments there on pools?
I was just going to say the Sivu play area, not about getting into it, but at night when it's lit up, I could see that turning into a very popular spot to get pictures in front of. It was absolutely beautiful.
I could see that as well. At night, it's lit up and it's all bright and crisp and clean. And then they also have colored lights in the floor that shine up through the little fountains that come up. To your point, excellent photo opportunity.
You just have to have a good camera that'll actually get it at night.
Yeah, that's true. I'm kind of stuck using an iPhone camera that may or may not hit. I keep hoping I buy the new iPhone camera and I get great pictures at night. And so far it hasn't happened yet. But I also have a comment here as well. And I didn't see this or sit in them to notice it, but it's really unique for DVC. It looks like the lounge chairs over there are padded with cushions. Did you guys check that out?
We sure did. They're super comfy. And as I joked to a couple of other guests who were sitting next to us, it was way easier to get into it than it was to get out of it. It was very comfy, beautiful view of the water. It would be really nice to sit there with a glass of wine in a plastic cup, of course, while your kids play in the sand right there.
Yeah, no kidding. As far as I know, the only DVC resort that I can think of that has padded chairs is Grand Californian. Joe, can you think of any others?
You know, honestly, we don't do a ton in terms of going to the beaches. So I'm trying to think. You may be right. And I haven't stayed at Grand Californian yet. We've done Disney out there, but I've never done GC. Maybe Floridian. I'm not even racking my brain if they even have pads there, honestly.
Yeah, maybe a listener will write in and post in the
my yeah, and I wish I had. We don't do the beach. You know, usually we're there in the winter, and it's one of those things that's not on your mind when it's cold.
Well, I remember over at Grand Cal, I thought it was the first resort that had them, and they are like 6 inches thick of padding, and they're just absolutely amazing, wonderful. I felt guilty sitting into them with a wet bathing suit, like this cushion is going to soak up all the water, and the person who sits down behind me is just going to get, you know, a wet butt via osmosis.
But. Yeah, like you're sitting on your mom's couch or something.
Bathing suit on. It was that level of nice.
There was a lot of really comfortable seating in the main pool area. Lots of little sitting areas with like a couch across from one another and a table. It was really a great environment. Like I could see sitting there in the evening if you had all adults or some kids were swimming. It's a beautiful spot and very comfy.
Yeah, the other thing that I noticed as well, and I did check it out on my second walkthrough visit there, was over at the beaches, they've got these very French, almost like love seat loungers with this bassinet type cover over them. And they were extremely comfortable and kind of unique and Riviera French feeling.
Lots of comfy seating everywhere.
Absolutely. It seems like they really did come back in and address this problem that happens at a lot of resorts where there's just not enough pool seating. It seems like there was two or three levels deep around the resort side of the pool and at least one or two the lake side of the pools.
You mean people might not be leaving their towels at 9 a.m. to come back to them at 5 p.m.?
Mm-hmm. Maybe they won't have to.
Yeah, maybe they won't have to this time. Okay, then. Moving on to recreation there. This resort has an extremely cool list of things that they're offering. I really wish that I could have stayed there more than just 2 nights and 3 days to take it all in and at least try out some of this stuff. Did you guys try anything on the list of recreation?
We did quite a few of the items on the list. Mostly my son and my husband did, but yeah, they played foot snooker. Our son did the opening regatta where you get to drive RC boats around the pool before it opens for the day, which was really fun for him. And we also did some of the other lawn games. So there was giant Jenga and lawn bowling and the bocce court and the giant chess and Connect Four. So all that stuff was really fun and a great way for them to spend some time. Maybe while I was picking up some food at Primo Piatto, they could be outside keeping busy.
Yeah, I got to watch foot snooker during breakfast because I popped out into the terrace to just go live to take a little bit of a break and give people a view. And they were playing foot snooker down there at the time. And unfortunately, it's only an hour long. And I was already having breakfast, so I couldn't get down there to try it out. But that really looked cool. Amy, tell us a little bit about that.
The foot snooker, yeah, it was right down on what becomes the movie lawn in the evening. So the lawn games were in the morning, sort of late morning, and they would set up the bumpers, sort of like it's an inflatable fence, kind of. For lack of a better description.
Like a billiards table.
Yeah, okay. Like a giant game of pool with this inflatable bumper around the outside. And then you play by kicking the balls around. So I've never seen anything like that anywhere on Disney property. And then the other games were really great too. We like bocce. So it was nice to have a dedicated area for that.
Yeah, I thought the bocce thing was very European and very Italian. And it fit in with the theme. I did notice, and this place had only been open for about a month when I was there. I'm looking all around the inside of it, and good God, that little bocce court is all chipped up from the cement from all those balls coming back in there and smacking it.
It was already chipped up the first day.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You had all these little marks. I'm like, the second day. It was the day after it opened. I'm like, God, this has only been open for 24 hours. How's this going to last? But I mean, it's concrete, so I guess eventually, but all those little nicks and scrapes.
Yeah. So I can see them coming back in and putting in some hard rubber liners or something in there as well to kind of absorb that and preserve that as well. But it's good to know that it was right there happening right off the get-go.
Let's say I also learned that my kid is a natural at bocce ball because we played like 5 minutes and he beat me all five every time we played. So I'm done. I'm going to just go let him do it and I'm just going to watch.
Awesome. Did you guys try any of the other things like the Topolino Trot or the Skyliner Rally Scavenger Hunt?
I don't pay to run as a rule. So no, I didn't try the trot run, but we did see a lot of folks participating in the scavenger hunt.
But you get a really cool pin if you pay to do the Topolino Trot.
Maybe someday.
It's on our agenda for our next trip that we're having this summer to try to do more of that. I will pay to run, but only a small fee and only a very small distance.
I think it's just over a mile. I think you just go around the lake from what they told me.
The scavenger hunt looks like a blast because I had some friends that did it and it looks pretty fun. So next trip, we're going to get in on that.
Yeah, the story behind the scavenger hunt is, and this goes for a lot of their activities, because I really sat down and had a wonderful like 30, 40 minute conversation with a cast member in recreation named Becca. And she really just went through line by line items so I could get the scoop when we did the podcast here. And she was telling me that at Riviera, they try to distinguish themselves from having full family oriented activities. It's not like it's a community hall where you just dump the kids off for a while or you throw them in here. But when you play foot snooker, it's designed for everybody to play. The Skyliner Rally Scavenger Hunt is designed for families to go out there and ride the Skyliner around and do a scavenger hunt on the Skyliner looking for things or taking pictures of things with their smartphones. And so it's designed to be a full family activity, and there's no dollar sign by that one. So that one's got to be free. To me, that just sounds like it's something that's really cool and fun. And if I was having a resort day with the family and staying there, I'd definitely sign up for that one.
Yeah, I think that one sounds like a lot of fun too.
The other thing that is kind of standard now, they have like a painting with the Riviera class that's at 3 p.m. I actually got to go down to the Aventi room where that's held and check that out. So I'll put some photos in there as well in the show notes from that time. That seems like it's a standard. Disney brings in a artistic instructor that teaches you how to paint a Disney themed painting with stencils and that kind of a deal.
Promise they could not teach me how to paint. It wouldn't happen.
You know what, Joe? I thought the same thing when my budding artist 12-year-old daughter wrote me into it, because I hadn't painted since like grade school. So, I mean, we're talking 30 years plus. And I actually went in there and I didn't do as good as she did, but I didn't completely embarrass myself either, because they do give you stencils and they give you the things that you need to do to somewhat cheat and get along and at least be somewhat respectable. Whether they're teaching you to paint or follow instructions, I'll let you determine that, but I can follow the instructions and come out with something that I'm not quite embarrassed to show. And that's saying a lot for somebody who hadn't picked up a paintbrush in 30 years. Other than that, you've got the standard nightly movie that they're playing out there on the lawn. The part that I thought was cool on the lawn that they show that on, that's actual turf. It's not like it's grass. So I feel a little bit better if I'm out there sitting on the lawn doing that or playing foot snooker out there. I kind of like the turf part and it felt a little bit elevated to me.
Yeah, it might reduce the incidence of mosquitoes if you're not sitting on actual grass.
Good point there as well.
It actually works better for my wife. She has allergies to grasses, so she'll break out in hives if she sits on the lawn.
Good point. Did any of you guys try the nightly campfires with the scones and Nutella and not the standard s'mores?
No, but I am now wishing I did.
Yeah, that's going on the top of the list for our next vacation.
Yeah, I actually didn't hear about this until Becca pulled me aside and told me about it. She was going, yeah, you really should probably let everybody know that we're not doing the standard s'more gig, that we have Nutella and scones, and it's more of a European flavor, and it's really, really good. So I was going, okay, Becca, you got me on that one. I can't not talk about it now. I can't not stop drooling about it, because who doesn't like a nice s'more? But now you're telling me you're kicking that up a notch. Seems like there's a lot of the same things there that go on at recreation, but there's a lot of new ones as well. I'm really thinking that these guys are trying pretty hard to come back in and elevate the recreation as well. Because the other thing that I kept getting consistently from all the cast members is we try to elevate just a little pluses here and there along the way. And I'm starting to see that throughout this whole deal. Any other comments here on recreation before we wrap this one up?
next trip where we go for a long, we're going to be there for 6 nights in October. And that one, we're going to have to zone in and do a bunch of this stuff now that you've listed it all out for me.
Oh, I'm telling you, Joe, normally we do a lot of split stays. And we just did a quick trip so that we could come back in and I could try to soak in as much of this as I could, because I know the listening audience is hungry to learn about Riviera. So I wanted to come back in and do that. But my next trip there will not be a split stay. It'll probably be a full 7 or 9 night stays to just really start to take in everything. Because I think you're not going to do the resort justice if you're not there for 5, 6 nights to try to soak in as many of these things as that they have available for you.
There's definitely enough to do to make a nice staycation at Riviera for sure.
Yeah, which I think is going to be critical to their long-term success on that as well, is being a standalone resort. I'll expand more on that comment in another episode. We'll be back in episode 73 next week to cover laundry, transportation, the member update, and how you can get some free fast passes for your family, as well as get caught up on the latest Disney events. We'll also round out the show with our cast compliments for some of the cast members that just notably served us with excellence. And I'd also like to thank our sponsor, DVCResaleMarket.com, the world's leader in DVC resales. If you're looking to buy a contract or if you're looking to sell a contract, God forbid, we know it happens. 50% of the members within 8 years end up needing to sell their contract. DVCResaleMarket.com, they are the world's leader in DVC resales. That's the only thing they do. They specialize it. It's the place where buyers and sellers can come together and get a fair market price for your contract. And I'd also like to thank Jay Herbert for this awesome 5-star review. This guy gets me. Chad's amazing podcast displays his passion for Disney and its wonderful vacation club. He finds guests who think and act like I do, which makes this the most relatable podcast I listen to. I'm proud to be a Patreon, and I can't wait to see what's on the horizon. Cheers and beers on me if I see you. Well, Jason, I'd love to meet up with you in the park and thank you in person. And thank you for that wonderful 5-star review. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a magical day.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know we'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.
Did you guys try any of the other things like the Topolino Trot or the Skyliner Rally Ravager?
Yeah, it's a tongue twister. Yeah.
The Skyliner Rally Scavenger Hunt.